Guess what I heard? I heard there was a good service here this morning. I heard that when I walked into the funeral home. I heard that when I walked into the senior citizen building. And I was sitting there reflecting on that, thinking about, you know, that's part of that this morning. Amen. I think most everybody was here this morning, except maybe our friend, that guy right there with the suspenders, lives up the road, got the trailers, you know? Yeah. Jake. But I was sitting there reflecting on that, and we got to remember, it's not about Drift Front. It's about what he says. It's about the church. It's about what the Holy Spirit was doing here this morning. And thank you, Claire, for following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Dave, for following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lucinda, for following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And thank you all. That's right. We need to thank him for the Holy Spirit. We're going to be going to Matthew 5, and we'll probably start with verse 1. But what brought me to this is I heard a sermon a while back from a preacher that Claire had recommended. I can't remember his name, but it was talking about reflections. What does our life reflect? Does our life reflect Jesus? Our daily lives, each as individuals, not as a group of Drift Run, but in your daily life, out here in the world, at your job, at the store, whatever, what do we reflect? Do we reflect Jesus, or do we reflect the world? And that's the question to put in your mind. And after the morning sermon, I've thought, are we getting the full effect of salvation? I want it all. Amen. Okay? I want it all. And that's not from a boastful guy here. It's from a guy that's been humbled to his knees by what Jesus done for me and what the opportunities are. The joy, the peace, the comfort. So, I was thinking about where do we get a reflection? From a mirror. Okay. And let's read the scripture. Everybody knows the Beatitudes. I've heard the Sermon on the Mount, but we're going to read Matthew 5, 1 through 12. It said, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And that's humble. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they be comforted." And I take that as being sorry for my sin. Sorry for what I've done. Verse 5. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And that's desire. And that fits right in with the want to be to church, the desire to be here. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men." Let's pray. Lord, as we bow here before you again this evening, Lord, we proclaim you as God creator. We proclaim you as giver of the gift of Jesus Christ and the opportunity through his shed blood that we can come to you. We're asking now, Lord, again, once again, you fill us with your Spirit and move upon us with your Word. Apply it to our hearts and help us to see, to understand, and help us to seek to understand. I pray, Lord, again, that you'll get this fleshly man out of the way here. I pray you'll be with those that couldn't make it tonight. Again, I ask for you to forgive me, and these favors we ask in Christ's name, and amen. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, what a place to look, okay? And what do you see reflected? And I was thinking, do we take the mirror to look at ourselves, or are we looking at ourselves through a window where I'm looking at Dave trying to see how I am? We need to look at the Word of God. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, this is the mirror that we need. This is where we need to see where we're at. This is the standard that we need to go by. And it should touch every one of us, because it's going to lead me right into something else. I didn't know, you know, where the Lord would take us that far, but apparently He is. One of the things that I see a problem in the world, you ever hear the saying, don't judge me? My six-year-old granddaughter told me the other day not to judge her. Wow. Yeah, that's what I thought. Where did that come from? Don't judge me. So I got to thinking a lot about that, and I looked it up, in the old book, in the Greek, a judge, which is a noun, a person, whatever, that is the God of his people. And to judge is to distinguish, determine, condemn, call in question. Okay. Who's been guilty of judging somebody sometime? It's in us, folks. It's in us. If you didn't hold up your hand, you should have, because you've done it. It's in our sin nature. And it's a tough one to get over. Yeah. So here we go. Do we judge with a mirror or with a window? I'm going to turn to, made me think about judgment. The first judgment, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. The first judgment, and this is a physical judgment, not a godly judgment, okay? Because when we're in Genesis chapter 3, verse 12, it says, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gaveth me of the tree, and I did eat it. So, as soon as he was called out, he pointed a finger. So, he's looking at things through a window instead of in the mirror. He didn't accept the responsibility himself. Claire did it. Dave did it. Get my point? Now, to clarify, and God's going to put every one of us in our place. We've all judged guilty. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verses 11 and 12. And I was sitting at a church one time, been probably 15 years ago, and the guy that was leading the service that night, he read that scripture, and it hit me right in the mouth when I realized what that meant. And it might hit you too. It says, I'm going to start with verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak no evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Verse 12 says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? That hit me right in the mouth. Who do I think I am? And I'm going to put that right out to y'all tonight. And it's not coming from me, because I'm guilty too. But when you judge somebody, who do you think you are? How often do we judge others when we don't have a clue? Guilty. 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 So that brought me right back to, Claire and I talked about this the other day, our focus. Our focus. If we're focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ in our individual lives, we don't have time to see what color socks Dave's got on. We don't have time to see what color my daughter's hair is this week. We don't have time to be looking at all that stuff. We don't. We got to remain focused on what is at hand for us. And here, do what is right in the sight of the Lord, and everything else will take care of itself. Isn't that the truth? Pretty simple stuff. Isn't it something how God uses the simple to confound the wise? That's simple stuff. We at Drift Run Church here, we Christians, we pursuers of God's kingdom, if we will sit right here and stay focused on Jesus Christ, everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. Our loved ones will hear about the Lord. Our loved ones will see something different. There'll be folks say it, and we've all heard it, I want what he's got. Amen. And that's because they got something that's real, something that is true, and something that is worth having. How often have we wanted something so bad, I've been guilty, right here. I think about when God gives me a sermon, he's talking to me. Amen. He is. I've experienced it. I've wanted something so bad, I sacrificed a lot of stuff that I should not have to have it, because I wanted it. And then when I have it, it's empty. It's gone. It's old. It's something else. Something new. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will fill that want and that desire in your life fully and completely. And you don't have to do it over and over and over again. Okay? But to reflect on that right there, we should have the desire to be here to learn about it over and over again. Billy Graham would say, he was upset with himself because he didn't know all the scriptures. But he recognized he was called to preach the gospel throughout the country, throughout the world. He preached the gospel in St. Peter's Square in Russia. He said in his book, they were there one time and the gospel wasn't allowed to be there. And they were standing in this huge stadium where all kinds of events happened. And they prayed about one day they would love to be able to come there and preach Jesus Christ. You know they did it. Amen. They did it. 10 years later, they opened the doors long enough for them to get in there, and they filled that place up, and they preached the gospel of Christ. We don't realize, because we judge by what we see going on in the news, what the world shows us, but we don't realize the number of Christians that are in Arab lands, the number of Christians that are in Russia, the number of Christians that are in communist countries that we think, that they have no hope. There's Christians there. Amen. They are there. We make our judgments on what that infernal TV shows us. And we can get caught up in a lot of stuff. Because I think the media is misleading. I really do. So, back to the point of focus. That's the key. I'm probably done, I guess. I'm probably done right now. So if you want to get a song, but the key is remaining focused through all. Walk around. Go. I invite you one time. Go with Claire. Go with Rodney. Go to the Senior Citizen Building. And I know at the Willows you can walk a lap inside, down the halls. Walk. There's no judging going on there. It's beyond that. That's meaningless, that judging. It's humbling to go there. Yes, it is. It'll show you what these bodies are destined for. Any one of us, and I think about that a lot, and a lot of people think that's morbid or whatever, one of us is going to be the next one to die. Is it me? We don't know. Is it Tana? Heaven forbid it be Tana. But it could. It might. We got to be ready. We got to stay focused on that right there. And we got to know where we're going to be. Hey, and that's a good thing to know. I told my doctor one time, I said, I trust you to take care of my body, but I trust in Jesus Christ, and I'm not afraid to die. And he looked at me and said, you know, that's a good place to be. I said, yes, sir, it is. It is. And I know it. I believe it. I'll preach it. I'll say it to anybody. I'm not afraid to die. I'm comfortable. I'm ready. Are you ready tonight? Are you focused enough tonight to focus on Jesus Christ, focus on the things that are important, and not be paying attention to what's going on around about us? We get caught up in them distractions. We'll argue with our brothers, our cousins, our sisters, our friends, our brothers in Christ over silly stuff. Put it away. Focus on Jesus. Do what's right in sight of the Lord every time, and everything else will be all right.